everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I am not joined today by Martin. He is sick. He has a sinus infection, so it's just me today. I am going to be joined shortly by Mason Ginsburg from bourbonstreetshots.com. He writes about the New Orleans Pelicans. And so we're going to talk about the two Pelicans the Mavs just got, J.J. Redick and Nicolo Melli. Just to get his thoughts on what they've been like this year. J.J. Redick is 36 years old, so I'm kind of wondering, like, is he the same player? What's up with his heel injury? Before I do that interview, I do want to talk a little bit about J.J. Redick because I'm going to be honest with you. For a minute there, I was a little concerned that Redick was never going to play for the Mavericks, and I'll tell you why. And I mean, granted, this is still kind of on the table, I guess, but we know that he had this non-surgical procedure on his heel on March 11th, or, you know, maybe a little bit before that. And the Pelicans said that they would reevaluate him in a week. And then after that, we never really got any news. And he never played a game after that on March 11th. I mean, today's the 29th, so that was a few weeks ago. And so he hadn't played a game since then. And so I was kind of thinking, like, well, they probably just sat him out because they knew they were going to trade him or they wanted to trade him. And so they didn't want to risk an injury, which is totally possible. There was talk for a while that he was either going to be traded or bought out. In fact, a lot of people thought that he was going to be bought out. So my theory kind of made sense. But then whenever the Mavericks traded for him and Donnie Nelson did his introductory, well, it wasn't really a press conference, it's kind of just like his pregame interview. He talked about the injury, and he said they don't have a timetable for Redick's return, for when he'll be available to play. And he talked about how they want to be 100% certain that he's healthy, and we know how the Mavericks feel about player health, which is great, I get it, but I feel like they sometimes tend to err too much on the side of caution. I mean, if you've listened to recent episodes, you know how Martin and I feel about that. Like, I obviously want to protect players' health, but sometimes I feel like they do things that are unnecessarily, like resting a 22-year-old player who has no injury history. So we know they're already super cautious even when there isn't a problem, like when there's literally nothing going on with the player. So since Redick has actually had this non-surgical procedure on his heel, it was, by the way, it was to relieve inflammation and soreness in his heel. So it wasn't like an extremely serious problem that he had. It was just kind of a minor issue. And so he got the non-surgical procedure. So since he actually has a medical problem, I guess, I'm sure the Mavericks are going to be extremely cautious. And that's what Donnie Nelson said. They're going to make sure that he's 100% healthy. So, and he said they have no timetable for his return. He said that he talked to J.J. Redick, and Redick says he has no timetable, that he's still recovering. And then there was, you know, everybody knew that J.J. Redick would prefer to have been bought out. In fact, Donnie Nelson even acknowledged that Redick would prefer to be bought out, which I feel like he said that because maybe Redick told him, like, hey, by the way, I would rather have been bought out. I wish you hadn't traded for me. But I don't know. That's all speculation. But you know me, like when I hear all these little tidbits here and there, I put it all together and, you know, the end result is that the world is coming to an end. And so that's what I thought. I was like, crap, Redick, he doesn't want to play here. He's going to use this heel thing as an excuse and we're never going to see him on the court. Well, just today, some good news. And again, it's a little tidbit, but hey, it's what I'm going on. Redick changed his Twitter header to the Dallas Skyline. Okay, this is big. This is huge. This is breaking news. So he changed his header to the Dallas Skyline, and he changed his location on Twitter to Dallas, Texas. So, you know, me being like the totally irrational fan that I am, that's pretty much enough. That's all it takes to convince me that everything is okay. And I mean, at least, you know, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. I feel like he's trying to put out there, like, hey, guys, I know I was traded. I'm in Dallas, or I'm, you know, going to be in Dallas soon. So anyways, that's the latest on J.J. Redick. I feel like there's a little more hope that he will actually play for the Mavericks, but we'll see. And we'll see how it plays out. Again, I know that he wanted to be bought out. He wanted to play for a Northeast team, probably the Nets. And that's kind of one reason why I'm not entirely convinced that he's going to be here next year, because he has an expiring deal. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I think that is 95% of why the Mavericks traded for him, because we know they love them some expiring deals. And so I think that's because he has that, he's a free agent. I don't think the Mavericks brought him here because they necessarily feel like they need him going forward. I think it's because of the contract. And so for him, he's got 3 months left, like 3 months to play for the Mavericks. He can leave this summer. He can go to the team that he actually wants to, which is the Nets. The Mavs get their expiring deal, which is what they want, so they can have cap space. To me, I think it's a win-win for both sides, in the sense that he's not going to be here next summer. That's my prediction. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But hopefully he at least plays here this year for the remaining few months that we have. And if the Mavericks, whatever seed they are in the playoffs, hopefully he can contribute with that. But that's that leads to the question of, what is JJ Redick like at this point in his career? He's 36 years old. He has declined this year. I think he's averaging less than double-digit points. We know what he's been in the past, but what is he like now, and what has caused this decline? And so I'm going to talk to Mason Ginsburg. Again, he writes about the New Orleans Pelicans, and we're going to talk about JJ Redick. We're going to talk about Nicolò Melli to see what we can expect from these two players. Before I start that conversation, I want to quickly remind you guys that this is the final week to enter our giveaway. We're giving away 3 Luka Doncic t-shirts from homage.com. You can enter to win at dallashoopscast.com/homage, H-O-M-A-G-E. There's 3 t-shirts, so we're going to have 3 winners, so you have a higher chance of winning. And these t-shirts are pretty awesome too. You can see the pictures on that page. It's super easy to enter. You just enter your email address and that's it. You're good to go. So go to dallashoopscast.com/homage, H-O-M-A-G-E, and enter to win. If you haven't entered, go enter right now. I'm joined now by Mason Ginsburg from BourbonStreetShots.com and the In the Know podcast. Mason, thanks for joining.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've been watching JJ Redick as a member of the New Orleans Pelicans for about a season and a half now. Most fans know JJ Redick. They know him as a sharpshooter, but he's maybe a little different now that he's older. He's 36 years old. Have you noticed any difference in his game, or is he still that same sharpshooter that he's been for his whole career?
You've got to know, first of all, what JJ brings to you at this point in his career, which is he's going to be a liability on defense. He was never an excellent defender by any stretch, but now he's definitely far from a plus on that end. But what helps with JJ is the versatility. And so everyone thinks about him for just being able to make threes and score and the points column. And while he's not producing in the other stat categories, really, he has gravity, which means that defenders have to pay attention to him even when he's not shooting. He's really good at moving when he doesn't have the ball. And so I think that helps. The question is that enough to counterbalance his negative on the defensive end? I think in the regular season, in a lot of cases, he's good for real rotation minutes off the bench. I think even maybe early in the playoffs, that could work. I think once you got deeper in the playoffs, I don't think really he's someone you can rely on without getting burned defensively, which is probably the reason why his market wasn't quite what you may have expect for a shooter of his caliber. But I do feel like it makes, it's definitely a helpful move for the Mavericks.
Yeah, when I was thinking about JJ Redick, I know he's a sharpshooter, but it kind of made me think of Seth Curry, who is also a sharpshooter, but really a surprisingly good shot creator with the ball. Does JJ Redick also have any of those shot creation skills, or is he really just a pure catch and shoot guy?
I think he's pretty much a catch and shoot kind of guy at this point in his career. I mean, I guess that's not entirely fair. He takes some very difficult shots that are JJ Redick caliber shots that probably not even many other players can and will take. But he'll take some leaners, and he's just deadly accurate. Despite he definitely had a slump over the first month or so of the season, but he's bounced back in February, and I know I'm not really sure what the deal is with his current injury. I don't know if it was just the Pelicans saying we're going to shut him down until the trade deadline and being overly cautious. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back pretty quickly. But I think you can rely on him for some tough shots, especially if you get into a bind late in the shot clock and need a bailout. There are worse options than going with JJ.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how he's kind of declined this year. And I was thinking kind of the same thing, that maybe since they knew they were going to trade him, they were like, well, we'll just sit him out, you know, and not risk further injury. But he did have that procedure on his heel. And, you know, again, he's 36 years old. Do you think there's anything to that injury? Do you think it's serious, or was it maybe just a smokescreen or a way to get him to sit out?
Hard to say. I think there's probably I think he was hurt. I just don't know if it was like, is he so hurt that he can't play, or are the Pelicans just being overly cautious because they know they're going to move him? And so, there was a period earlier in the season when they shut him down as well, because they thought he may be on the move. But I think it's nothing. And I think I think Dallas is pretty comfortable with the fact that he probably, you know, can help rejoin them pretty quickly. I do think all this is really interesting because JJ was reported all year long, basically once a trade became the most likely outcome for him, that he wanted to go back northeast. He's from that area. He was hoping to go to one of those teams, and so it was the speculation all throughout up until the deadline was essentially, no team up in the northeast is going to want to give anything of value for him. Pelicans are probably going to buy him out. So I do think it's very interesting that they ended up trading him to Dallas. I don't necessarily know if that was JJ's preference. I don't think it was. And so I'm very curious. He has his own podcast, as I'm sure you know. And I am really wondering if he's going to speak about it, or what he was expecting versus what happened. It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, I remember hearing that too, how he preferred to play for a team in the Northeast. And honestly, you know, this is the final year of his contract. So part of me thinks that one of the reasons why the Mavericks got him is because he's an expiring deal, and everyone knows they like to have cap space every summer. So it's possible that he won't even be with the Mavericks next year, either because he wants to go to the Nets maybe, or because, you know, they don't intend on keeping him long term. They just wanted the expiring deal. But, you know, either way, we'll have to see how that plays out. You know, regardless, you know, it's the final, 3 months of the season, so it's not too long, and he's going to get a ton of open shots from Luka, so, you know, it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, maybe so. I think he's a professional, so I don't think he's going to be he's not going to pout about it, and he's going to, I mean, he may have some things to say about it publicly, but I mean, as far as on court, he's a professional, he's going to fulfill his role, and I think he's going to be a nice ad.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what he's like off the court. I've heard kind of what you just said, that he's a professional, good teammate. Was that also your impression of him, that he's just a good, solid locker room presence?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak to what I've heard, but by all accounts, he's a great teammate. He was, I think, a guy that the Pelicans, in hindsight, they probably could have gotten more from him if they traded him before the season. But I think the team valued his him being a liaison of sorts with Stan Van Gundy, the new head coach, because he played for Stan a while back. And he's the only player on the team who's played for Stan before. And so I think, and he's spoken about how good of a coach Stan is. So I think that may have influenced the Pelicans to keep him on for the start of the year, just to help. Whether that went according to plan or not is anyone's guess. Obviously, the team hasn't done quite as well as maybe some would have hoped. But and the eventual return for him in a trade was also not quite what folks would have hoped. But I think by all accounts, he's a great teammate. He's he said a lot of great things about Zion and his Pelicans teammates. And so, I mean, I think I expect him to bring the same type of qualities to Dallas.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy that really wants to win. And I mean, I know that sounds crazy. They all want to win. But like, he's got that competitive spirit. I remember him saying he'd made the playoffs, I think, every season of his career since he'd come into the league. And so when he joined the Pelicans, he was telling them, like, don't screw this up for me because I have this record. And so he seems like the kind of player that wants to fight for that kind of takes pride in having that winning mentality.
Yeah, he does. And to his credit, I mean, I mentioned the defensive issues, but it's not for lack of effort. It's just for lack of athleticism and just raw ability at this point. And so, like, I mean, one thing I will call out for JJ's defense is he's been he's a very good charge taker at this point in his career. So he kind of knows where he can contribute. And so he's very self-aware. And so I think that's good.
Has there been anything about his game that surprised you since he joined the Pelicans?
I don't think so. I mean, seeing him shoot the ball is always a treat. So, I mean, you hear how good of a shooter he is. You see it in games. But I even remember the first the open practice the Pelicans had with him. I was, you know, I was able to check it out, and it's just you know, the level of shot making is rare in this league. And, you know, you can it's not a ton of guys that can do what he can do, regardless of shot difficulty. And so. I think also his ability to move without the ball is, again, none of these things are new. I mean, he is who he is at this point. He's been doing this stuff for years, but seeing is a little bit different than hearing. And so it's nice to see like his activity, and that he really, you know, he knows his limitations, and he tries to contribute whoever he can to minimize those negatives and to amplify his strengths.
Yeah. I think a few years ago he shot like over 47% on threes. And so, like you said, that level of shot making is pretty rare. Now, I know earlier we talked a little bit about how he had declined some this year. Do you think that was more about his age, or was it the fit in New Orleans? And maybe does he fit better with the Mavericks? Basically, what do you think is the best fit for Redick at this age, at this point in his career?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it was part bad luck, part situation for the start of the year. I mean, everyone goes through shooting slumps at some point, and so he was getting fairly decent looks, but he was also taking some contested shots. So the Pelicans offense didn't really start real clicking until they gave Zion the ball more and told him and had him become more of their facilitator alongside Brandon Ingram. And so you saw them really effectively in the month of February use those two together in pick and roll situations, and also just generally playing off of each other. And you know, Zion has such gravity on his own. You know, he gets attention from defenses no matter where he is on the floor. And so having those two in actions together, you've got to pick your poison. You're either going to let Zion go one-on-one into the paint, or you're going to give JJ an open three. And so those are tough decisions for defenses. And so it clearly paid off. I see him maybe in a similar fashion used with Luka in that same vein. And so it should be some really dangerous activity for the Mavericks. I think the big question with Dallas is, you know, can you cover for it on the other end?
Yeah, speaking of Zion, the last few Pelicans games I watched, I didn't realize how much they used him as a point forward. Like, he brings the ball up, he makes plays with the ball, and he's so good at it, too. Like, he's so strong and fast for his size, which, like, none of that's new, but it's amazing to see that new role for him and how effective he is. He's a lot like LeBron. He can just drive to the rim and, you know, everyone bounces off of him and he springs in for a dunk. He's pretty amazing to watch, I gotta admit.
Yeah, it's been his development this year offensively, and the versatility of his game at such a young age has been really, really good. I mean, even David Griffin held a press conference this morning to talk about the trade and just mentioned that, like, you can't think about Zion as a big man. You've got to think of him as a playmaker. And so just that fact alone really opens things up for the Pelicans and how they construct the team around him. He said similar things about Brandon Ingram, too. I mean, he's called Brandon Ingram a two guard, which is not something that you would think about when you see BI. He's usually, you know, he's filled more of the 3-4 hybrid, more three, but 3 and 4 for the Pelicans this season. And so I think that's, you know, that's really key. It's with Zion is being able to rebound, to score to score this back to the basket, to be able to put the ball on the floor and really not just score, but facilitate for others. I mean, his assist numbers are up from the start of the year significantly. So, I mean, his game's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, exactly. So with Redick, it sounds like he is exactly the player that we thought he was, or that we know he is that sharpshooter. But the Mavericks also got another player, Nicolo Melli, as part of the trade. I kind of see him as a throw-in player. I don't know if he'll play much, but, you know, you from watching him, do you see anything there, like maybe potential, like he just needed a different fit or a different role that would bring something out in him? Or is he really just kind of a bench guy that we shouldn't expect to do much?
You know, I lean towards the latter, and I've been probably as hard as anyone on Melly this year. And it's not really fair to Melly. I just feel like a lot of the times I wasn't understanding why he was even playing in the first place. They brought him over from Europe, and the thought was that he's a stretch four type player, but he hasn't been able to shoot. I mean, his 3-point percentage last year was in the low 30s. This year it's unsustainably bad right now. I mean, he's making nothing from 3-point range, and I don't think he's that bad. It wouldn't surprise me if he just has a major regression to the mean and starts lighting up the Nets in Dallas. I mean, it'd be pretty typical for a New Orleans trade if that were to happen. But the one thing I will say recently, there have been a lot of games where the Pelicans came out flat, and he actually came in and helped with guys like Josh Hart to light a fire defensively. And so I do think I personally probably underrated him a little bit on the defensive end. He's a smart defender. He can get into passing lanes better than I think I anticipated. And so I think, you know, he's obviously not going to be able to switch onto a guard and contain the pick and roll that well. But I do feel like he has some strengths defensively. And so if he can start knocking down shots and become a threat, then yeah, he can be a rotation player, but he's just shown no indication in New Orleans that he's able to really make threes consistently, which really it negates a lot of his offensive potential.
Yeah, I was just looking at his stats, and I'm surprised he's averaged like half a steal per game in only 11 minutes. So that's surprising, but yeah, that's impressive. And I know the Mavericks, you know, they lack depth at probably every position, but particularly with their forwards, the big man rotation. So they might be thinking, you know, if he can come in and maybe get his shooting back on track, that he might be able to add some depth there. It's probably a low risk move. So they might be hoping that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. I think, you know, Pelicans fans are also similarly curious about the players that they're getting from Dallas and whether or not I think similar situation. Whereas less convinced that you have one clear rotation player like with JJ, but I mean, that's why you get the second round pick. That's the real compensation. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's definitely minutes to be had for guys like James Johnson and Wes, because they play at least partially play the wing position, which is the lightest position for the Pelicans. Beyond BI, honestly, their guys who are playing the most of the three is either Josh Hart or Sindarius Thornwell. And Thornwell's most recent 10-day expired. So I don't think they're going to bring him back now that they've got these two guys. And there's luxury tax concerns too. But I think that's kind of where the Pelicans are sitting with the two guys they got as well.
Yeah. Well, Mason, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate the insights just to kind of see who these players are. Everyone, make sure you're following Mason on Twitter at Mason Ginsburg. And then he writes about the Pelicans on bourbonstreetshots.com. Mason, again, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to talk about it.
So good stuff there from Mason. And I think a lot of it is what we expected, but at least it's good that it's the things we expected. Like all the things that we've heard about Redick being a sniper from the three-point line, that is all still true. And he's had a down year. But he brought out a good point how early in the season the Pelicans offense, it just wasn't working. And I think Redick probably, suffered because of that. He also took a smaller role. They had some young guys they wanted to work in and grow. And then the resurgence that the Pelicans have had recently on offense are because they're using Zion Williamson in a more of a point forward role. However, during that time, Redick hasn't been playing. And I think if he were playing, he would have benefited from that really big shift in their offensive philosophy. And so Redick kind of got the worst of all of the bad things that happened early in the season, and he hasn't benefited from all the good things that have happened later in the season. And I think that kind of explains the decline. Plus, whatever was going on with his heel, that can definitely affect a player's shooting. But if Redick joins the team, which again, it could go either way. I think that he's still that laser. He's still a knockdown shooter, and that paired with Luka Doncic, I mean, oh my goodness, like that would be freaking awesome. So I think he's going to be everything that we think he's going to be. That doesn't mean he's perfect. I mean, Mason talked about his defensive deficiencies, but that's, you know, we already know that. And I don't think that that's something that we expect from Redick. I'm sure, you know, like Mason brought out, he still puts forth the effort. And for the Mavs, that's really all it is. As long as you put forth the effort and have good team defense and don't leave your guy hanging, that's really all it takes for them this year. I don't think they have dreams of being a top five defense, even though they've actually been really good lately. So Redick is everything that we want him to be. Nicolo Melli, I still think that he probably won't play a lot, if ever at all, but there's the potential there. I mean, he was supposed to be a stretch four, and he hasn't shot the ball well. And like Mason said, I mean, he shot it so poorly that there's no way that could continue. I mean, there's a huge chance that Melli will get hot, or just, you know, get back to where he would normally being a stretch four. And, you know, the Mavs could use that. I mean, they don't have a lot of depth at their big spot. And I don't think Melli is exactly the kind of big that, you know, you would want for the Mavs right now as a backup big. He's not the Andre Drummond that a lot of fans have wanted, or even like LaMarcus Aldridge, who was available. He's definitely not that kind of big, but at least he's another big, you know, and he's not a slow giant like Boban, who has a role at times, but really is, you know, he's kind of a matchup guy. So there's a chance that Melli is something. There's a chance he never plays, but there's a little bit of potential there. And then Redick is the sniper that we know. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully Martin feels better soon and you won't have to listen to just my voice for 30 minutes. But I really appreciate all of your support. All of the reviews that we're getting on Apple Podcasts, they're just so awesome. And I really appreciate it. We're still on the road to 30. We're on the road to 30 reviews. And I hope that we can get there. I know it's totally selfish of me to ask you guys to help us get to 30 reviews, but if you feel inclined to leave a review, I'd really appreciate it. We're trying to get to 30. So thank you guys for listening. The site's DallasHoopsCast.com. I'm on Twitter @_SydneyMyers. The site is @DallasHoopsCast. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.